You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA. It's a great day to be here and a beautiful morning in Melbourne. Aaron, what's going on with you, mate? I know you've been to Cairns lately. What's happening?
Where did you come from?
Pop away for a wedding and now it's an industrial matter.
Oh, well, we were just talking about it.
I did jump on a dive boat, mate, so we did some scoping there, and there's good union members up on some of those dive boats that are up in North Queensland, out in the Coral Sea, which is pretty good. So
that must be a pretty difficult industry to organise. A lot of backpackers and that do that work, or
no? Actually, it seems to be, and I have to follow up with our comrades up in Queensland, North Queensland particularly. But seems to be that there is quite a chunk of the workforce that are quite constant and have been there between 5 and 14 years. So,
oh wow!
Although I was on annual leave. Still managed to sneak a little bit of organising in there. I did leave it to the last day in case any of them had any shitty stories, I don't have to see them again. but it's all good. They're all happy with the Queensland branch. They're loving it. And they were talking about what they're doing in their upcoming campaign. So they're all some good, solid union members up there in the Coral Sea floating about.
So the dive industry would be one that traditionally over the last number of years hasn't actually been organised, because it's a difficult area to organise.
Yep.
So you've done a bit of work around that.
Yeah, so it's kind of split into three, I guess, key sections from what I understand. One is offshore diving, which is really well organised. So they do all the wells and stuff in the offshore oil and gas industry and various other deep dives where they often live in chambers for a month on end. The next part is the inshore diving, which is like port maintenance. They are regularly under the wharfs down here in Victoria. And we just recently, and we've reported on this show many times around Bhagwan, which is the first of the inshore dive agreements in Victoria to get up. I think actually first of the inshore ones to get up in the country.
Working on the others?
Yeah, working on the others. So I understand that East West has just put their rates up to match Bhagwan's to maintain some of their
workers,
because what we did see was an influx of divers locally just flock to Bhagwan when their rates went up. And we're working on PDS, which is Professional Diving Services. We're actually in the commission with them last week doing a majority support determination. We're working through that now. So we've got to wait. We're awaiting the company's submissions before they hopefully will just issue the NERR, but we are working to do that. And then the third part of the industry is the, I guess, tourism diving, where people like me who like to look at fish and sharks and watch weeds will go and throw a tank on and jump in the...
You were doing so well.
Jump off a boat, and there's people that look after you and look after you.
The odds of you diving in with a shark, fair dinkum, you'd be in there with little minnows. That's where you'd be diving. I dive with sharks, I do. who can back this story? If you dive with sharks?
Video footage of it, mate.
Have you?
And I've got one of their little...
You in a cage?
No, I wasn't in a cage, mate. The fish heads are in a cage. Oh. Yeah. Well, this is fun. Anyways, why don't we just sit here and bag me for the rest of the show? So, comrades,
The diving industry here in Victoria is about to explode with decommissioning in Bass Strait taking place, and that'll be obviously offshore diving.
Yeah, that's offshore diving. So that's a key feature of our insurer organising campaign, is to ensure that there is a separation or a demark in that work, because as that industry explodes, and like I think Esso itself has 800 kilometres of pipes in more than 400 wells that need to be safely removed, and that will be work for our seafarers, but also, like you said, yeah, divers will have to go down there to make sure that we can safely remove all that infrastructure that we put into the Bass Strait in the 70s and 80s. So our members put it in, and now our members need to be the ones that take it out, and we're in disputes with the regulator to make sure that that happens in a timely, safe manner, and that returns the environment to a state that it was previously. And this is all part of what our broad campaign around a just transition is. So as we remove that stuff out, we want to be seeing our members transitioned into renewable energy and the construction of that sort of infrastructure as well. So there's a lot of work happening there. It's something that young workers are pretty hot on, like the issue of the climate and making sure that we return the environmental sites to their pre-infrastructure states is pretty important.
And I was lucky enough to go down to Barry's Beach last week and visit the Scandi Darwin. The Scandi Darwin is a vessel owned by a company called DOF, who we are in EA negotiations with. But Shiner is the delegate on board that vessel. I'd just like to call out the Shiner, say good day to him and the boys. It was great to come down and meet you last week. And you're doing some pretty important work down there with preliminary work around the decommissioning. So things are starting to hot up in Bass Strait, and I think we're going to be heading to a pretty exciting time. And actually, you know, offshore wind appears to be pushed back a few years. I think it's going to be like 5 years before the first power is expected to come from offshore wind. So it gives us a really nice window of opportunity to just do the decommissioning work, and, you know, because there is a skill shortage here in Australia regarding seafarers. So to have the two industries running side by side probably would have been a real stretch on our resources and everything. So maybe this little window was meant to be.
Good opportunity to up our training and really get our seafarers ready to move into that industry as well, into the new burgeoning industries.
And I just want to mention the offshore EA campaign is well underway, being driven by the Western Australian branch, George Garkas and Will Tracy and Jack McCabe. I've been lucky enough to tag along with that and get involved. And we have a meeting here on Monday, coming up Monday the 22nd, 22nd at 2:30
p.m.
Yeah.
22nd
Monday. Is it? Right, well, okay, so that meeting is taking place. Will and George will be here for that meeting to do it live. Yeah,
so Monday the 22nd. Just want to be clear with that, Monday the 22nd. Casper's still living in the past.
I'm catching up. I was a week beyond. Now I'm only a day beyond.
Yeah, well, you're that's still from the 70s.
it's back in. I'm telling you, it's back in.
Along with our song today is from the 70s, but we'll get to that later. So, yeah, anyway, all seafarers working in the offshore industry, or even seafarers that are not working in the offshore industry, if you're in Melbourne, Victoria, next Monday, please get along to Island Street for a 2:30 meeting with Will and George and myself and the rest of the crew here, and that should be an update on the EBA campaign. AMA did make an industry offer to the MUA only last week, but that was unanimously rejected by the membership. So we will forge ahead with our EBA campaign, and I imagine there's been 3 or 4 meetings taking place already, so I think it's starting to hot up a bit.
Yep. So what was the problem that forced the membership to disregard it?
It only addressed about 3 or 4 of the concerns that the members have. You know, they want to go to 4-week swings. One of the more important issues for them at the moment, they do 5-week swings, and that sort of was really, the difficulties of being away from home was highlighted recently with the COVID situation, where members were forced to actually fly to Western Australia, spend 2 weeks in isolation, then join the vessel for 5 weeks, and they were only getting 3 weeks at home with their family. So one of the biggest claims by the MUA is 4-week swings, and AMA agreed to introduce 4-week swings in 2 years' time. Well, that's just not good enough for the mental health of our members, and we want it a lot sooner than that. And now that they've actually put it on the table as something that they're, you know, willing to move towards, I think it's something that we should be able to achieve.
So that's on the Monday, and then on the Tuesday, is there something happening on the Tuesday, the 23rd?
There is. Our Victorian delegates are going to kick off our youth conference with a day of training. So we have our Victorian delegates in on Tuesday. We have about 20 or 30 Victorians coming in. We'll be doing a day of training. Following that, we have our youth conference, which will be the Wednesday, Thursday.
International?
That week. Yeah. Well, international. So we have young workers from around the country coming in. So from every state in the country. We also have members of other unions. So the construction division, other unions locally are sending delegations down for the Wednesday. And also we have, MUNS. So members from MUNS coming in. So they'll get in here Tuesday afternoon as well and be for the conference on Wednesday, Thursday. So it'll be great. It's looking like it's going to be a pretty jam-packed day. Any of our members who is around Island Street on Wednesday is welcome to pop in, particularly if you're under 35, try and get down here.
But can the old people come too?
Yeah, you just have to stand at the back.
What's old? 36 and over day.
No, it'll be a good day because the day is just going to be, it's a day, Wednesday particularly. So Wednesday the 24th of April. Yeah, 24th of August. No, that's actually. Wednesday, 24th of August is a day that we're going to go through some of our union's history, some of our key disputes, and celebrate our 150 years as a union. So I strongly urge anybody who's around, just pop in throughout the day. A lot of great speakers talking about our union's pretty amazing history, and it'll be a good day for everybody to get down here.
And it is part of the 150th celebrations?
Yep.
Yep. So and we have another event coming up, Casper?
Yes, we do. The 150th day, which is being held on roughly the 29th of October. You better check that. Even my pension would have been a day or two or a week out. The 29th of October. So there's going to be a lot more information coming out to all of our members as that gets closer. But we've booked a place in Williamstown for it. I think the food's been organised.
Have we booked a band? Have we booked a band?
Well, I don't do the booking of the bands. I'm not a band agent, Dave, but I'm led to believe that we have the Painters and Dockers will be playing. So
that'd be awesome.
As long as other musicians.
We also have, Seafarer, who sings and has a band, and we'll think of his name in a second.
I'm having a mental blank.
So that's going to be a really good event. I think
it's going to be a great event, and, you know, Ross Hubbard and Max Ward have, in particular, you know, done a lot of work around this and assisting the branch in that. And I think we're going to be looking at something around the 21st of September as well, but we'll get that out to the membership as that gets a bit close and we get confirmation what we're actually going to do on the 21st of September. Milestone date in our union's history.
And there is another significant event in Sydney on the 13th of October. That's another 150th dinner, and that's going to be actually huge. And Victoria will be taking up 50 of our main delegates that support the branch in a great way, week in, week out. And that's going to be a really exciting event too. I believe there's lots of international guests coming to that. There's going to be a band called Spy versus Spy. And I also believe one of the guest speakers will be Anthony Albanese. I hope so.
Just giving the Prime Minister his marching orders for that. On this day, you'll be doing this. What are you doing the day before, Dave? You booked him
for anything? You booked him for anything? Is he opening a surf club down in Torquay or something? Is there, you up with him, going for a stroll along Torquay Promenade?
He'll probably be down at the Western Oval celebrating the grand final with the Bulldogs.
You're not even in it. We're not even in the eight.
We will be next week when Carlton lose to Collingwood and the Bulldogs will sneak in.
Well, you're known early crower. You said the Lynx voted get up before. We weren't going to mention throw you under the bus, but since you've driven the bus up to us, we're going to back it over you.
Okay.
But anyhow, no, so the 150th in the national office celebration is in Sydney, and it is going to be a great event. And Victoria, we've started to put that list together, and hopefully we'll have a delegation of 50 up there for it to recognise the union's 150th year.
Before we jump back into the...
You know, Aaron, you were talking about the divers. When I was riding past the Yarra, there were I thought of you guys because there were divers cleaning up the crap from the Yarra. Like, you know, there was a, what is it, a supermarket trolley and some of those bikes. And but they didn't look like them anymore because they were covered in sludge.
Sludge and algae and barnacles and everything else, yeah. Yeah, it happens. The divers do some pretty dirty work at times.
Actually, I just got back from Tassie where we were negotiating the EA for the Goliath, and this is why I've just brought this up, Annie, because you've just reminded me that the two tugboats that the Goliath crashed into in Tassie were just pulled out of the water the other day, and they were sitting on the deck of a vessel, and they look like they've been underwater for 100 years. They're absolutely destroyed, and I'm sure the insurers waited for that to happen, or the companies did, so that they couldn't salvage anything.
Can we run this back down, Lloyd, before this?
I'm sure they were just waiting to do it safely and to
make sure
remove the vessels in a safe manner and without making any more environmental harm.
David,
it's amazing what the people do to something after a couple of days.
The Goliath is owned by a company called CSL. CSL have around 10 vessels traveling around Australia. Only three or four are Australian flagged vessels. Only one of them has Australian crew on it, which is the Goliath. And all those other vessels have international crews on them who, get paid less than Australian seafarers. And we plan on changing that and getting Australian seafarers onto those vessels. So there's some exciting times coming up in seafaring in Australia. And
how are the negotiations going, Dave?
Yeah, look, they went okay at day two. I don't think they're going to be drawn out for too long. We're hoping that we'll get an agreement fairly quickly. So hopefully not too long at all.
I suppose that just leads in, we've wanted this for so long. We want jobs for Australians, for particular Australian seafarers. And have we got enough seafarers? That's going to be the next thing. That's going to be the challenge for us.
Training will be a key.
Training is going to be the key.
One thing I will say for the Goliath and the CSL, they do train on that vessel all the time. They have TIRs on board, which is really great, and they plan on continuing to do that. So that's a big tick for CSL there.
Another company that does a fair bit of training is TT Line, and both REAs are underway as well, aren't they? So you just secured a yes vote at the shore-based side, David?
Yeah, that's right, the shore-based side. There was, I think, 87 people voted on the agreement. There was one no. It was fully endorsed by the MUA to vote for that agreement, unlike the previous time the company put an agreement out to the work members without it being endorsed by the MUA, and that was a 92% no vote. So it's great that the members support the union and follow our directions. We work together, obviously, to get those outcomes. The seagoing EA, we've put a proposal to the company to roll over that agreement. The main reason we want to roll over it is because we're moving to Geelong and we think the operation might change, and we want to be able to cover all those changes inside the EA. And also there's two new vessels due.
Awaiting the two new vessels.
Yeah.
The union was just over inspecting some of their cabins, and we're being consulted the whole way through around the development of these new vessels as they're underway. But we want to make sure that we've got a good position ready to go so when the new vessels come online, so that we can make sure that any changes that need to happen for those new vessels are captured in a new enterprise agreement, so that we can continue to work smoothly and safely.
And you, Casper, I believe you're rocking down in Melbourne.
Oh, the work here there in the last 12 months has just gone through the roof. As opposed to Portland, so there's a couple of labour reviews there. Portland, because of the drop-off in work, and particularly the log boats, nothing's come back there. Probably the workforce there has diminished by over 50% in that time. And that's just a product of the lack of work and the intermittent nature of it. And in Melbourne, quite the opposite, where we had a labour review and it was agreed that there'd be promotions for 7 PFSCs, which is to the permanent roles, and there'd be 16 from GWE to PVSE. So those roles have been, those upgrades have been agreed to by the company, and well, hopefully that'll happen in a timely fashion. And so that's good news for that workforce who have done have worked incredibly hard and incredibly long hours, and a lot of them, for a long time. So that was great, and that just leads us into the in the first week of September in Sydney. There's going to be a nationwide Balkan General Conference where, in particular, Lynx and Cube are the two major players, but also the smaller Balkan General operators from around the country, including from Victoria, mobs like ANS, will be involved. And I understand the Roro sections are going to be involved in that as well, with being Cube TT Line, Toll and Sea Road. So that's going to happen, and that's a 2.5-day conference in Sydney the first week of the 7th of September.
That's to map out our direction, how we go
map with out the direction.
Industry, yeah. and how we maintain industry standards and increase them.
Over a period of time, there's been, for varying reasons, been reasons why agreements have got quite a bit of a gap in them in certain areas. And so it's probably just having a look at how we sort of align those agreements stuff up and just get the Balkan General into a better area.
That'd be a good couple of days, no doubt.
Yeah, what's happening with Switzer?
And Switzer is the next one. Annie, you came to our meeting on Friday a week ago, I think it was, and you were able to witness that national hookup. Sally McManus, but Dave, you're the trumpet Switzer, so I'll let you tell the members.
Thanks, mate. So that was an historic meeting that we had here in Melbourne 2 weeks ago, or just under 2 weeks ago, and all the unions turned up, the AMOU, AIMPI, and, you know, they were all wrapped. It was great to see the officials here from the other unions, and I've been speaking to them again today, actually, about another issue. So the unions are finally starting to work together, which is great. They had a hearing in Fair Work Australia a couple of days ago where the commissioner was very straightforward and said, basically opened up the meeting with the Section 225 termination case will not see the light of day. Switzer were a little bit shocked, I think, to hear that after they'd put so much effort and money into it. But the suggestion by the commissioner is that won't see the light of day. No dispute, is beyond a settlement. And he expects the two parties, or the four parties, I guess, to work together to get an outcome. And now there has been more meetings booked today. There's a meeting taking place today and tomorrow in Sydney with the three unions and the company. And we're hoping that we can get a negotiated outcome, which we should have got over 2 years ago. So there is a bit of light at the end of the day, Annie. And one thing the commissioner did say, which I thought was really interesting, was that he'd known Tony Burke for a long time, and Tony Burke is a man of his word, and he said that they're going to fix up the Fair Work Act around this Section 225, and he lets Switzer know in no uncertain terms that that's what's going to happen. So, yoo-haw.
Yeah, it does look like it's moving in the right direction finally, but you're right, Switzer should have done this 2 years ago when we were that close to getting an agreement in February 2019 before they turned into modern Switzer.
Yeah, well, that's just where it is now, but it certainly sounds positive that there is some movement in the right direction, but we've all been around, our members listening have all been around long enough to know that it's never done until it's done.
Yeah. And DP World are up to their old tricks.
Naturally, back up to it again. I think they're trying, they've just engaged in a little dabble in wage theft. So they stole a week's wages from our members by altering the way that their payment system works, and robbed some of our members of a week's wages, which
that's off the court, and that's
off the court, and it'll be
12 or 18 months away. Yeah, it really is a long drawn out.
It'll be a while before it's dealt with, but that was a national decision that they made, but even locally they've been trying to mess with their hours of work of the guys, and it's just DP World being DP World. So,
I do believe they had a labour review down there the other day where it was identified that there was a significant amount of permanent jobs that could have been introduced.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they didn't offer anyone a job.
Yeah. Sounds like DP
so the blue keeps going.
Yeah. So
anyway.
Adrian Evans was in town and went down and addressed the guys there on last Saturday morning.
Saturday, yeah.
And addressed the guys there from a national point of view and just gave them an update on where things are at. So that was good of Adrian to. One thing about him, when he's in town, he always goes and visits the sites that he is responsible for.
Just like to do a call out to the Coates family, which we did last week, and also the Betts family Peter Betts' funeral just the other day. So, and Brett's funeral was a bit earlier, about a week ago. We did mention Brett last week, I think, but just call out to those two families, both seafaring families, and to Wayne, Peter's brother, and Damien, Peter's nephew. Big call out to that family, and our thoughts are with you.
Yeah. So that's about it we're up to.
Oh,
we've got the stoppie coming up on the around about the 30th, 30th of August, and we'll get some posters out. But Luba Grigorovic, who is
friend of the union,
is now moving into state politics.
If she gets elected?
If she gets elected, she's she stands for the seat of Coroid, I think, from memory. So Luba's going to be the guest speaker at our next stoppie on the 30th. So we encourage all members to turn up to that. There'll be light refreshments and light beer.
Light beer.
And light, can I just say it? I'm just playing with the word light.
So, as usual, there's a fair bit happening around the branch.
Yeah, the youth conference coming up next week is massive.
So, again, want to encourage every member who's about to get down here, but particularly members under the age of 35. Get down here on Wednesday, the 24th of August. Yeah, something around that. But now we'll be here all day and we'll be having a little party that afternoon. So anyone there who's around that day will be able to get the location for the venue that night.
You've just invited not every a wharf in to see if he can sniff out a free drink, Aaron. Well done.
Free game.
Oh, it's not free.
Oh, well.
In that case.
Might be.
I'm not going in.
Yeah. You weren't invited, mate. It's a young person's thing.
Turning up.
This is the young people. We've got a spot out the back for you guys.
You're going to do me here different. You'll never know.
And speaking of youth, our song for the week is a song that no youth would ever have heard.
I've got to be clear, this was chosen by old people. the song was well older than 50 years, I think.
The Department of Youth by Alice Cooper. What a great song. All the best. Thank you, Minimus. Thank you, Annie.
Have a great day.
See ya.
We got the power. We got the power.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.